It's me, Mary Hannah.
Me, IFF.
I'm me, Winipa.
Woo!
It's been a couple of weeks since we have done that, so we hope you guys have missed us as much as we've missed recording and discussing things with y'all. Today, or tonight, when we're recording, we're going to be talking about backsliding, what it is, how we define it, how we get back on track, what we think Scripture says about it. But of course, before then, we're going to have a word of prayer.
All right, let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for this time that we have this evening to be together, Lord. We want to thank you for friendship. We want to thank you for family and all the things that we have. But most of all, we want to thank you for who you are. Lord, I pray that every word that we speak on this podcast will speak life over the people listening. Lord, that above all else, that your mercy and your grace and your heart for your people and the fact that you will love us eternally shines through. Lord, I pray that you'll speak through us and that you'll just mold our lips to say the right things, Lord, that are pleasing to you and edifying. I pray that you'll be with us now as we go through the rest of this evening and bless everyone who's listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So guys, as we are wont to do, we are going to have a cute little icebreaker before we get into the
discussion. I'm giving you and your Cambridge
girl, dictionary. Get me out of here ASAP.
So, as we are wont to do.
So y'all, because I've just been snacking on tortilla chips, what is your favorite fall/winter nibble or snack, even meal, if you want to disclose that? I'm trying to think of what my favorite one is, because I feel like I eat the same thing.
I have a controversial one.
Okay, what is it?
It's just one particular snack that only comes out one time of the year appropriately. I love a good Twiglet at Christmas. What's I'm not gonna lie to you guys. You guys don't know what Twiglets are?
Twiglets.
Guys, stop playing. Twiglets. They're like these little like little sticks, salty snacks, and they're Marmite flavored.
I've never had Marmite, so I can't even talk too tough.
Guys, let me tell you something. The hype about how nasty it is, it's just hateration. That's not hateration. Let me tell you something. I'm gonna bring a tub of it next week.
Please don't.
To just spread nicely on your breads.
Twiglet. I'm not liking how this is looking, babe. It's giving dog food.
Yeah, and what about it? And what about it?
Well, honey, if you like but it, I love it.
That and cheese footballs, they also come out at Christmas
time. Are those just cheese balls, like cheese puffs in a ball?
No, it's different. It's like a wafer casing. You know, like what the Catholics have for communion? Mm-hmm. It's like that on the outside, and the inside is like a ball of this, like, it's like crumbly cheese substitute. I can't describe it.
Munifa, I'm not gonna lie, like, where are these foods from?
Listen, Merry Christmas. I'm gonna get you both a pack of each.
No, okay, can you please actually comment on our previous post to see, like, if you, like, who else has eaten any of these foods? Because the way Munifa's talking about cheese footballs, what?
I'm actually surprised. MH, I expect this from you. Like, you're not from here. I didn't expect you to know, but I am fair. Come on. You're even from the north. You should know.
I'm from the Midlands.
Is this cheese footballs?
Yes.
Munifa, you're sick. I don't ever want to have Christmas at your house.
I say Merry Christmas.
No, that actually tastes so good. You guys, never look a gift. No, wait, that's not even the right expression. Anyways, don't knock it till you try it.
Okay. I am for darling. What about you?
Snacks.
Or a meal, a nibble.
Christmas. I like fig rolls.
Really?
Fig rolls. And I'm the sick one.
But only around Christmas, like this time of year.
Yeah.
There's something about Christmas time that actually messes people up. Like, people start pretending that all them type of things, they're like fig rolls, fruitcake, Christmas pudding.
Fruitcake is despicable.
Like, actually, apart from mince pies,
mince pies are despicable.
Ooh. Bust down Baba Yaga. Like,
oh my gosh, I'm sick. I could actually never have Christmas at your house because I wouldn't eat.
This is going to be your worst nightmare when I say Christmas dinner.
With I've only seven twiglets and cheese footballs, God forbid. Yes,
I'll be like, bon appetit. Just bring one twiglet on the plate.
Oh la la.
How about you, Emmy?
Mine. I love food, but I have a palate of a child. Mm. And like we went to dinner like what, last weekend? It is last
Absurd
weekend.
Bird.
Absurd Bird. Yeah. And Monifa was telling me on the way there, oh Emmett, you're gonna love it because it's just like kids' food, like chicken wings and chicken tenders. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like a bit of me. So I like really simple foods. I like around winter. What do I really like? I love a shortbread. You know, like a just a classic British shortbread. I love that. Christmas time specifically, what do I like consume loads at Christmas? I don't know. My palate doesn't really change because I don't like what do you call it, warm fruit. So I don't like fruitcake. I don't like any of that. I don't like, what do they call it, sticky toffee pudding, because it has some disgusting sort of stuff at the bottom. I don't like none of that. So my palate pretty much stays this. I don't like custard. I don't like warm things. Stop. Like that. I don't
like
that.
Accept that. I don't like that. Custard is my life.
Custard makes me want to vomit. Like,
stop it now.
No, I'm serious. You've not had good custard. No, it's not that. It's the texture. Like, because I don't like yogurt that much. Like, I've only started getting into Greek yogurt. So I don't like custard. I don't like any of that. So guys, yeah, I just like shortbread and gingerbread men.
Oh, you're a mess, child.
Anyway, I hope you guys get to know some of my
outfit next week is there, because that's what you're gonna be chefing me.
I'll be cooking you burnt rice, fam. Like how I burnt my rice in the
just the salmon and the broccoli, so I can be
just there with the broccoli, no starch, no carbs. Anyway, child, get it how you living.
So today's topic is backsliding. So we're talking about what we can do when you backslide, how to avoid it, and all of that stuff. But as always, it'll be best to start off with a definition. So what would you guys define as backsliding?
I've always thought of backsliding as like the conscious, well, somewhat conscious decision to like step away from like your Christian beliefs and make decisions that are contrary to that. I don't necessarily think it means like saying like going from like Christian to like atheist or like non-believing at all. I think it's more like the decisions that you make that you wouldn't make if you were I guess rooted in quotation marks in your faith, and sort of like the context or the situations that you find yourselves in, and more specifically the decisions that you make, and then like that replicated over like a specific period of time. I would consider that as a backslide, if that makes sense.
I think that, and also I think it can also be thought of as sort of in relation to one particular sin. So it might be that, you know, at the time where you first gave your life to Christ, you were really struggling with some sort of like addiction or some sort of behavior that you were like praying a lot for deliverance from or renewal from. And it's kind of like regressing back into that old habit, if you would.
I have nothing to add. I think
that's right.
Okay, so now that we've got our definitions out a little bit, what do you guys think, like, we should start, we meaning like believers as a general point, or people who believe in Jesus, when it comes to like, yeah, coming back to the faith, I guess, or like finding your feet, finding your rhythm, however you want to say it, once you've backslidden, where would you advise people to start? Where do you think we should start?
I think we touched on this quite a bit in the episode about guilt, shame, forgiveness, and freedom. I think there's something about realizing your own kind of ineptness to save yourself. Because I think often when we think about like backsliding or regressing and stuff like that, we think, oh, like this thing is wrong with me, let me fix it. Like, why do I keep doing this? I'm so undisciplined. Let me like beat this behavior out of myself. Completely missing the point that it's only the Holy Spirit who even has the power to change you and to like renew you from the inside out, and for that to reflect on your behaviors. And one scripture which I love on this is Galatians 3:3, and Paul is saying to the church in Galatia, are you so foolish?
like he literally says to them, like, what has possessed you? Having begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? And I think that's it, that so aptly captures the journey that a lot of us go on. It's like you discover the gospel and the good news that that is, and you realize how broken you are, and that, you know, it's the Holy Spirit who convicts and Jesus who saves and everything, and that transforms you because you just realize how much you love God and everything and how grateful you are. But then it's like, it's almost like you reach a certain point where you now start looking at yourself, and it's kind of like you're looking in this mirror, and because you're more aware of who God is and how perfect he is, all you see in yourself is the imperfections, and then you can slip into this pattern of trying to fix yourself by your own strength, even though this journey to you even realizing what was wrong in your life was begun by the Spirit. And I think there's something about trusting the Spirit to kind of see to completion the good work that, like, God has begun in you.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Where to start is the Word. Like, the Word is what we base our actions on, our beliefs on. So just going back to the words, the Word of God, like, not so much on, like, not running to doctrines or running to, like, rules or even other people's sermons, but going back into the actual Word of God. And the verse that I have is Psalms 119:11 that says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I will not sin against you. And once you have the Word of God hidden in your heart, and not just knowing it, but to actually hide something in your heart, takes meditation, it takes intentionality.
Yeah, that's good.
And that intentionality, it just, to be able to be intentionally seeking God and wanting to know more about his word, I think that's where you need to get back to.
Right.
No, I completely agree. I always think it's so important to, like, basically a summary of what you both have said, to like acknowledge who God is, because I think, like, when you've gotten to that point where you're like, ooh, I can identify that, like, my life is not where I want it to be and I want to get back on track, it's sort of like there's that sort of like that urge or that, like, impulse, as Winipa, you said, to try to, like, fix yourself to get there and then be like, okay, God, we got it, so now let's get back on track. When it's just like you accepting Christ was, like, part of God's love, like God's plan for love for all of humanity, and so, like, you coming back to Christ is not just something that you simultaneously do on your own, if that makes sense.
Right.
Like, it's beyond you. Like, you recognize your need for God, but it's like it's not your need for God that, like, made God move in the first place. It was God's love for you.
Exactly.
So acknowledging that, and there's this verse in 2 Timothy 2:13, yes, and it says, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. And the verses that are before this talk about, it's sort of like, if we die with God, if we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. And this is about Jesus. If we deny him, he will deny us. And I think that's really interesting that we see that sort of, like, not back and forth, but, like, that relationship between, like, what we act and how, like, Christ responds to it. But, like, in that final, I guess, like, line of the saying, it's about more than just, like, a reaction or an action. It's talking about, like, God's character. So it's just, like, exactly, a constant. So it's, like, regardless of how you have behaved, like, God is a constant. His actual character, yes, based on our living, his reaction or his responses to us may be different, because, like, if you've landed yourself in a tricky situation because of disobedience, like, God is just, and we will have to maybe pay consequences for those actions. But, like, his actual heart, his character and his positioning, his heart's positioning towards us doesn't change. And I don't know, I think that's really important to remember, even when you haven't, like, backslidden loads, if we're gonna use, like, a spectrum, like, recognizing that. How I remember when God, like, first told me this, it, like, changed how I viewed him. Like, how you feel about God never changes how he feels about you, ever. Right. Like, even people who don't believe in God, like, okay, like, you don't believe in God, God still loves you. Like, do you know what I mean? So
exactly.
Acknowledging that, like, who you are is detached, or how where you've been is not attached to, like, God's love for you, if that makes sense.
And not just the fact that, like, God will always love you, it's that 1 John 4:8 tells us that God is love in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the fact that he is love, to me, what is that? It means that it's unconditional, constant, like, he will never leave you or forsake you. Like, mm-hmm. of course, God allows us to have free will and make our own choices and everything. And, like, maybe that's something we'll come on to later.
Mm.
But, like, until then, like, God is always going to be standing at the door and knocking. And I think oftentimes it's us kind of putting a perception on God that, like, oh, God will never take me this way.
Yeah.
How could he want me back? But he's saying, like, I'm here, I'm knocking. Seen it all before, heard it all before, you know. Yeah. And someone said something to me that, like, really stuck with me, and I think it relates to what you said, MH, that when God looks at us, like, he doesn't see what we see, and he doesn't define us by our mistakes, but mm-hmm. he sees who he created us to be.
Yeah.
I think when you have that in mind,
it changes a lot.
You're never too far gone, you know.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, so when we've talked about, like, where do we start in acknowledging who God is and his love for us, who do you think we can go to? Like, how do we put that into practice? Like, who are the people in our lives that you feel like, or who would you advise people to go to if they have backslid and are trying to get back on track or back in rhythm, whatever the thing is? I can start.
Mm-hmm.
Because, so, y'all, when I was not in school, I was doing an internship with a religious with a church in Spain, virtually, because I didn't end up going. And, like, one thing I really appreciated about that placement was that it gave me an insight into church as an institution. And I think sometimes we give the church with a big C a bad rep. The church has a bad reputation because it's like institutions are bad, bad things happen, and people just cover things up because they don't want the institution to fall, which is true. But I think an institution, when it has the right objectives, is actually such a good tool. And being able to see, like, people who are pastors and who are, like, actual pastors, you know, not, like, part-time, like, this is their full-time job, their role, like, they have had to, and they should have had to undergo specific training, not only just biblical training, but training when it comes to, like, mental health, so many different things, like, dealing with grief and a variety of, like, issues, I guess, or experiences that people could come to them with. And so I think, like, if you have a congregation or church that you trust, being able to go to a pastor, maybe not the main pastor, because often they have, like, a lot on their plate, but, you know, like, a pastor, someone who was on staff, who was, like, trained to handle that is always, I think, really, really important. Like, I don't know, I feel like sometimes it feels like, oh, somebody that you don't know, how you're going to open up to them about it, but I guess, like, that's really what they're there for. And if not that, then, like, a friend that you can trust. I think sometimes going to a friend with, like, all of your stuff may be a bit heavy on them too. It's like a friend who can maybe hold your hand or, like, be accountable with you while you're trying to find the people who can support you, or a mentor if you have that, or whatever else. But I do think that, like, the church or a congregation is a good place to go, because they're literally trained for these sort of things, and if you find the right place, then you should be in safe hands.
I think it's just about going to someone who you feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
Ultimately, like, that might be a different person in your life. I mean, for me, like, when it comes to my mistakes, I don't really like to be sharing, and that's definitely a pride thing. So often I just keep that between me, God, and, like, one particular elder who knows all my mess, child. We've been on a journey, honey. So that's very much me. But also, I think maybe, I mean, obviously the message we've been given, rightly so, is that, like, you know, it's all about God's grace. Like, Jesus has paid it all. But someone who will be there, like Mary Hannah said, to maybe keep you a little bit accountable and to not be like, oh, I'm gonna beat your behavior into line and everything, but just someone who can, like, just make sure that you're not
allowing yourself to be comfortable with this pattern of regressing, and someone who has your best spiritual interests at heart and, you know, wants you to actually actively be drawing nearer to the Father. Because there might be some friends who you talk to who they might be your closest friends, but maybe they're not Christians. And so the thing that you're describing to them, they're just like, you know what, girl, get your life, like whatever makes you happy makes you happy. Then not understanding that there is a war between your spirit and your flesh. So what makes you happy is actually making you desperately sad. So it's like someone who can understand your POV and be there to like gently realize that God is trying to turn you towards him.
Yeah.
I would say like Christian community is very important. Yeah. But it's also important to have someone who's more senior than you in the church, whether it can be quite hard to find like someone you can trust plus a senior sometimes, but just being open, or like someone that you can actually be honest with and that wants your best interest in terms of drawing you closer to God. But I think it's just important to have someone that you firstly trust and someone that will kind of be encouraging you on the way as well. You can say like, oh, I want to change, I want someone to talk to. But then if you're presented a chance with someone, you also have to be open as well. And that can be quite hard with like things with pride, shame, as we've discussed in previous episodes. Mm. But yeah, and it's hard.
Yes. So no, I agree. That's why I'm really an advocate for, if you don't have people that you're super close with, that's why I would say go to somebody who doesn't know you, because like they don't have nothing to measure you by. Like what you're giving them right now is what is like what they're getting. So it can only go up from there. Do you know what I mean? Whereas if you,
it's like, wow, Mary Hannah, you've improved so much.
So much.
It's like,
you know?
Yes, because you met me at rock bottom. You did. Yeah,
exactly. Meanwhile, if you go to somebody that's been known you, they're going to be like, girl, you here again? Or boy, you here again? You know, I'm kidding. You know, I'm kidding.
Right.
But...
right.
Yeah.
We talked about backsliding, not just in terms of like a general, I guess, regression, maybe like a slip in behavior in general, but maybe like falling back into a pattern of a sin or an addiction, or giving into a temptation that was your particular like crutch. So maybe like you suffered from some sort of addiction or something. What tips would you give to someone who was maybe in that position about what to do?
I think when it comes to like getting your rhythm back after being like, I don't know really the right language to use, but being away, I guess, for so long, or even battling with something that's either like a serious, as or like serious meaning like has physical repercussions, like an actual addiction or something more internal, I think it's so important to acknowledge where you're at. Because one thing we didn't mention, which I guess we should have mentioned at the beginning of the episode, was like coming back after you've backslidden can't really happen without repentance. And right. I know people like have different ideas about like, what is repentance? Like, does God continuously forgive us, or are we forgiven, and all that type of stuff? But I think like to be repentant is to acknowledge where you are, and to like have a, I think, in my understanding, like have a deep remorse for it. Not a deep remorse right. that is born of shame, but a deep remorse that is sort of born of like, you know that there's better for you. Not only right. that you can do better, but like you were created for better and God wants better yeah. for you. And so you want to be committed to that better, you know? And so the practical step in that sense, I think, is starting off with like naming what your thing is, or what your things are. Being repentant for that, not only in your mind, but also in your actions. So, like, if you're struggling with something sexual, for example, like porn, whatever it may be, you need to cut out the stuff that you're watching on Netflix that is not helping you.
She said, you need to delete your browser.
No, really. You need to put the locks on it. You need to put the locks on it. You need to have an... I just got an accountability partner, and I was just thinking to myself, like, why didn't I not do this earlier for things like this? You know what I mean? Like, regardless of whether it's sexual or not, like, just like having somebody who could be like, get your life, you know what I mean? Like, but also like practically, you need to cut that stuff out, because I found that like serious in like jokes aside, you will literally like what is the saying? Eyes are the window to the soul, right? And I think that's just so relevant. Like, if you are taking in anything, it doesn't have to be sexual contact. It could be violent. It could be anything. If you're taking that in constantly, and that's kind of weighing on you in a negative way, or encouraging behaviors, patterns, thoughts in you that you know are not God's better or God's best for you, like, they need to go. Like, it's just actually very, it's hard, especially if it's your favorite show or if you love that artist. Trust me, it's hard. But also, it's like, this is your spirit at stake, beloved.
Right.
Let's jazz up.
It's 3 minutes versus eternity.
Take your pick now. Take your pick.
Choose wisely. Now, I'm not saying what you should go for. No, but jokes aside, because I'd be saying this and then messing up on the same things. Ha ha ha, see my life. But I do think it's about that. Like, it's about trusting that God is going to complete this work in you. But also, I don't think that's a passive trust. I don't think that means, well, let me keep on watching what I'm watching, doing what I'm doing, and then God is just one day gonna, you know,
hip me just up.
Exactly. I think, you know, the Bible says to flee from immorality. And I think that shows that on our part, there's at least some work. Like, you can't change your heart, because like only the Holy Spirit can do that. But you can at least take some steps to avoid being in a pathway that's gonna make you predisposed to not listening to that calling of the Spirit when it tries to change you. And I also think there's something about remembrance in that as well, because I think forgetfulness, forgetting what God has brought us through, forgetting where we've been, can really be like such an enemy to where God is trying to take us. And we're having a Bible study about this on Saturday. And someone just made this really small point about, he said that he was learning a language and he learned a phrase in that language, which means to remember with your heart. They were telling him, like, if you try to learn this language and just remembering with your ears, like, it will never become fluent. You need to, like, learn it and remember it with your heart. And I think there's something in that, like, even when we think about, like, repentance and genuine remorse, what that means, I think there's something in that repentance about remembering with your heart how much you don't want to be there again. Yeah. And how faithful God has been in the past to you, and how much you want to love him because he loves you. Do you know what I mean?
His habits and stuff are a series of individual actions.
Yeah.
So if you actually look at what triggers like a certain action or a certain thought or a certain like whatever you may be struggling with, that just breaking one of those action,
one of the pre-steps,
might break, not like might break the whole thing, but just being introspective about what your triggers might be, whether it's your phone at a certain time and speaking to a certain person at a certain time or in general. Yeah, but just being honest with yourself and making the changes that will make things easier for you, rather than having all these temptations and having to always fight against all of these things.
No, honestly, what you just said is so perfect. And even what you said, Vinipa, about remembrance, I have that in my notes, actually, about how, like, part of, like, coming back after backsliding, or even after, not even backsliding, like, just after having a moment where you've, or a series of moments where you just, like, lost your faith in God. Yeah, you know, like, you're not trusting God. Like, there's this verse in 1 John, too, and I love John's writing. I had to do like a little essay on him on a passage for like the internship I was doing, and John was like writing way after like the rest. He was like he's believed to be like the last living disciple, so he was writing during a period of like severe persecution. And so like he starts this 1 John 2 passage and he's saying, I remind you, fathers and mothers, you have a relationship with the one who has existed from the beginning. And I remind you, young people, you have defeated the evil one. I'm reading from the Passage translation, by the way. I write these things to you, dear children, because you truly have a relationship with the Father. I write these things, fathers and mothers, because you have had a true relationship with him who is from the beginning. And I write these things, young people, because you are strong. The word of God is treasured in your hearts and you have defeated the evil one. And I just think sometimes we all just need a bit of a reminder, honestly. Like, you just need to remember, like, where you've been. Like, actually, God, like, I have defeated the evil one. Like, I know we talk about, like, gospel songs always talk about that. And, like, we say, like, let the enemy try it. Like, I've got the victory. No, but, like, you really have. Like, you actually have.
You're literally batting for the winning team here.
Like, literally. And so it's just, like, we need to have that moment of, like, retrospective thinking, like, yeah, I've been not where I want to be, but, like, also God loves me, and also, like, I have defeated the evil one, and God's word is treasured in my heart, you know?
And also remembering that, like, the way we view people and situations is not how God views them. So, like you said, MH, like, we've already won the victory. That means, like, although Satan might call you by your sin, Satan's gonna say, oh, you're an addict. Satan's going to tell you, you're this, you're a mess up. Like, God is saying, like, you're victorious. And just remembering that, like, it sounds weird, but, like, remembering what's to come. Like, I used to find Revelation terrifying because I was like, child, it's not me that's going to be in that lake of fire. But let me tell you something. The victory and the triumph in Revelation will change your life, bro. It will change your life.
There's a verse in Revelation, actually, Revelations 3, that talks about
Revelation belief. 3 is a bop. Can I it's just good. Say that? Revelation 3, as far as chapters go, it's up there.
And it says in verse 3, go back to what you heard and believed at first, hold to it firmly, repent and turn to me again. And the second part of the verse says, if you don't wake up, I'll come to you suddenly as unexpected as a thief. So then you get the revelation, God is coming soon, you know, bit in there. But
yeah, it do be reminding.
But I think that is so important.
A question that I have, you guys. So we've talked about, like, coming back to God. Do you ever think there's a time where God will just be like, nah,
I'm straight.
Told you once, like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And God cannot be shamed. So do you think there's? Because there's certainly things that I've struggled with. And it will be now the fifth time I'm coming back to God and thinking, like, Lord, like, you can't want anything to do with me at this point. Surely, like, if it were me, I would be gone, you know? So what do you guys think?
I think no. Even Paul talks about, like, Paul's like the OG, isn't he, of the Old Testament. And talks about the thorn in his side that he wished God would remove, right? So I think, like, God's never done with you, I don't think, because God's character is eternal. So God, like, there's no start and end to God's love, so he's never done. I feel like God is never done with you. Do you know what I mean? Like, as long as you are living and breathing, there's work to be done. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I don't think God's like, well, that's her 17th 100th chance gone, like, that was it, bro.
that one 7 times 7 was 70 times seven literally. That Jesus answered to Peter. Because I'm on 489 right now.
I definitely agree. I don't believe that. Because forgiveness is, like, part of love, and God is love. So if he was to have a limit in how many times he'll forgive you, then that's the limit on his love.
Yeah,
right.
And I don't think someone who would send his son to die would have a certain number of like, times you can mess up before they just say, no, the death of my son, I'm just gonna leave that, and then you go to hell anyway, type of thing.
Because that would even be rendering
Jesus's
imperfect or invalid the sacrifice of Jesus. It would be saying, well, Jesus's sacrifice was enough to cover all your sins, but not that one, and certainly not on time 34. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like you said, I am afraid, like, capping God's mercy means limiting his character, and he has told us, like, he is the I am, you know, he just is. There's no bounds to to what he can do.
I think this is one of our final questions that we had drafted up, but so once we've got all of this done, the repentance, the being honest, the remembering who God is, God's love, how do you find the strength to be honest and transparent about where you have been?
I feel that you need to know who you want to be honest and transparent to. I don't believe that you need to be sharing everything with everyone. So, but if it's someone that you trust, I feel like we've mentioned before about like accountability partners and like people in high authority in terms of the church. I think you just have to let, because the only thing that would prevent you is pride, in my opinion, and shame. And you just have to work through that. The journey can take as long as you need it to be, but it will benefit you more than it's benefiting the person that you're telling, because at least you have someone who will hold you accountable. I don't believe you have to be telling everyone where you came from.
No,
not really.
No, for real.
You want my business?
Don't ever do that. Like, don't you ever. No, I think that's definitely true. And like, I feel like often the thing that's most hard to do is to be honest with yourself, because like, you can always have like worries about, oh, what are the people in church gonna think, if they find out. And that's all well and good, like, but the thing I always struggle the most with is letting myself down and feeling like, yeah, the only people hurt here is me and God. So where do we go from here? And so I think it doesn't necessarily need to be the case. I mean, I know some churches have a culture of like confession, like it's like a routine thing. I will reserve my comments on that respectfully. I don't necessarily think that you have to do that if you feel like you've told the necessary parties, one of which being God, for sure, and the other being maybe someone you trust or someone you feel close enough to.
Yeah.
It's nobody's business.
I agree. I also feel like sometimes, as I first said, like, the journey will take as long as it needs to take. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, I know God had to deal with me about that when I was coming to uni, like, and I had anxiety about it, and I was like laying in bed and I was like, God, I'm so anxious. I don't want to be anxious anymore. And then I like finished my little prayer and I was so anxious. And God was like, girl, of course you're still anxious. I'm not paracetamol, like, hello. Like, I'm not just going to work. Like, I'm just gonna not just gonna numb your nerve endings, which is essentially what paracetamol does. Like, you need to deal with the root. Do you know what I mean? And so sometimes it's just like, if you're dealing with shame, like, God's gonna have to teach you to deal with the root of that shame to find the strength to like let it go. Like, it's not just gonna be the sort of thing, like, you know when they say on Twitter, like, well, you know when they say on Twitter, if someone is to send a risky text in quotation marks and they like chuck their phone and they're like screaming, like, they're not sure what the person's gonna reply. No, none of that. Like, God is gonna help you deal with the actual issue, so you're not running away once you text your mentor like, I'm struggling with XYZ, or I've been here and I need help. Do you know what I mean? Right. Like, it's not gonna be a sort of like, you need to have like a certain vim about it. Not vim like pride, but like, you need to have a certain,
I think that impetus comes from like a certain peace and confidence that that's not the end of your story.
Yeah.
And also kind of this like relinquishing of pride as well, because I know that's the one that does me. It's like, my shame definitely comes from my pride. I'm like, oh wow, I thought I was better than this, other people thought I was better than this, you know. But I think that that's ultimately where God wants to see us, like, in that place, because it's like, as much as the Holy Spirit convicts, and part of that might be feeling guilty about something you did, like, that's not where he wants to leave you. Like Jesus said before he died, like, peace I bring to leave with you, or whatever that says, you know. He wants you to come full circle and feel okay, not just be swallowed by your guilt. And just final point is just one scripture which I love so much, which I just think I hope will be a blessing to someone listening. It's Ephesians 2 verse 8-10, and it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Love that.
Yeah, we hope that this episode has given you a sense of peace and offered some action points at whatever stage you're at, whether you've backslidden in the past, whether you're in a state of that right now. We just hope that you would have gotten something from this episode. And if you've been through it before, you can message in our comment section on our Instagram to give other tips and advice for whoever might read it. But thank you so much again for listening to another episode. We thank you for all your support this past year and a bit, and If you want to keep in contact with us, make sure to follow our YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
Do we even be on Twitter?
We do not.
Occasionally. We're just on Instagram. Let's stop lying.
Literally.
Because what's the Facebook saying?
It has our stories. It has our stories.
People are following it. Bags,
by default.
Yeah.
Yeah. For more episode requests, fill it in our anonymous Google form. And we'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.
Bye.